Right?
I felt better.
Okay, I'd like to call the Education Committee meeting to order. The time is 1:01. And the first item on the agenda is roll call, please.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congressman Potts.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Speaker Pratt. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Present. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congressman Tillman, will you say an afternoon prayer for us?
Everyone could join in and just follow along with the, our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. They are attached to your calendar invite, and they are from April 11th.
Chair.
Yes.
Minutes reflect Speaker Pratt exited the meeting at 10:52 a.m. However, she did vote in the motion to postpone 2201. Just doesn't say when she came back in.
Okay. Clerk, did you get that?
No, ma'am. I did not even realize anyone was talking. You might have to bring the microphone closer.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It just says Speaker Pratt exited the meeting at 10:52. Then on motion to postpone, Congressman Potts moved to postpone ONCA 2201. It does reflect that she voted yes. Just doesn't say when she came back in.
Thank you.
Chair.
Yes.
Motion to approve the minutes from April 11th as amended.
Second.
Motion on the floor with a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
No opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, the next item on our agenda is update from Education Department on scholarships and other department activities. And we received an email at 9:24 from Caitlin, and on it has three attachments, and we do have Mary Wildcat on the call. Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, great.
All right, we're going to give the floor over to you, and I think let's start with your first attachment. That we have Osage Nation Education Department Fiscal Year 2022 report from 10/1/21 to 3/18/22. And if you just want to start there, we're going to follow along with you on your report.
Okay. I can go over the numbers in the report, and then afterwards I can kind of give you a brief on all of our events that we've had. We've had a really busy year this year. To start off, and like Congresswoman Goodfox said, this report reflects October 1 to March 18th. So that's what the time frame of the numbers. So with our nationwide academic tutoring program, we have approved a total of 42 applications. Those are students who are actively tutoring at this time. 12 of those students reside on the reservation and 30 reside off. And we're serving students in six different states. For our Osage Nation Tutor Program, we are serving 41 students. We've approved a total of 41 applications, and they are all actively attending tutoring. And those are all located within Osage County. We have 13 tutors on contract with us. And our school support program, we are serving 507 total students. Classes offered through partnerships. We have our TCC concurrent enrollment classes. In the fall, we served 36 students, and out of the 36, 29 of those students are Osage. This past spring, 19 total students, 9 are Osage. We're really excited to say that TCC will be coming back on site this coming fall. That's the plan anyway, if there's no crazy COVID variant outbreak. That's the plan that we have, is they're going to do a blended course. So they're going to do half classes on site and half classes virtual. So we hope to see an increase in numbers. Just a lot of kids and parents were not comfortable with going 100% virtual and online. And I understand that, you know, that takes a lot of self-discipline. So hopefully we'll see those numbers increase this coming fall. Pawnee Nation College, they are now partnering with Nebraska Indian Community College, and they began an educational cohort very similar to our cohort with Baycone. This last fall, we had 9 students in the cohort. Eight of those students are Osage and one of another tribe. This past spring, we have the same exact numbers. Our internship program, we currently have 8 on the program. Last year, we had a total of 14 for the whole year. So we're already seeing that pick up. And there's more details of jobs, placings, and things like that within the packet. So I really feel like we'll probably see a larger increase this summer, and our total year will be much larger. Our certification and licensure program, we've served 7 clients through that program. Our career training program for fall, spring, and summer, we've approved 57 applications. Our state scholarships for fall and spring and summer, we awarded 4 students through our Daniel Scholarship, 2 through our Rubel Scholarship, 4 for a Wheeler Scholarship, 4 for Atkinson Scholarship, and 12 for our Tinker Scholarship. We've awarded 4 through our Hope Scholarship. And for graduation stolen commendation awards, for fall of 21, we awarded 21 students. For winter slash spring, we awarded 3. 19 of those earned their bachelor degrees, 3 of those earned master's degrees, and 2 earned their doctoral degrees. Our JOM program, we have a total of 1,566 students on that program. 685 of those students are Osage, 881 are Native American, just other tribes represented. A total of 115 students have received direct services out of that program currently, and 15 are Osage, 63 are other tribes. Our college entrance assistance program, we've served 15 clients. Our STAR scholarship program is really just kicking off. The deadline's May 1st. As of May 18th, we've received 5 applications. Of course, since then, we've received several more. Our STEAM program, They've partnered, hosted, or attended three different events and activities, and our STREAM resource coordinator conducts STEAM activities each day at the WELA and immersion schools, and they've served a total of 347 participants. We did add a page for our career training. Last time we met, we had a couple of requests, more information on that program. So Trevor added a page for the sites, the career training sites that each of our students are attending. We plan to have more in our report, our end of the year report in September. So this is just kind of a start. So, but that is in this report. For our events, last time we met, we were gearing up to head to the ACES conference. The ACES conference took place the very end of September. It was September 23rd through 25th. We held a little essay contest for our college students, and we had two winners, and one of our winners, she was able to attend. One of the other winners, due to just policies at her school with COVID, they didn't really want her going to another state, so she really had to make the choice to opt out of the trip. So we were able to take one of our students from Texas, and she attends Baylor University, majoring in microbiology, to the ACES conference. It was in Phoenix, Arizona. She wrote her essay about the importance of vitamins in relation to COVID viruses and variants. Following the conference, this student was accepted into medical school in Dallas, Texas. And while we were there, we were able to witness five of our students who won awards through the ACES program. Surgeon Rolovic, he won the Grad Aristocrat BGT Award and the Intel Scholarship. Lucy Camblin won the BNSF Railway Scholarship. Henry Camblin won the Chevron Scholarship, and Ellis Brown won the Intel Scholarship. So we thought that was really cool that we were able to be there when they announced their awards, and that our Osage students are really utilizing ACES and the scholarships and opportunities that it has to offer. We were able to do our interview with Indian Country today. They asked our department to basically just do a segment on financial aid. So we did that on October 4th. That was a really neat experience. We used our sound room at the language department, and they set us up in there, and it was really awesome. We were able to host our in-person children's gathering, our Jinkaji Wadishki event. We have not been able to host that in person the past few years, so we were really excited to be able to host that on October 12th and 13th for our WELA and DePosca students. We collaborated with the Department of Natural Resources, our Harvest Land, our Wajaji Cultural Center, and our Language Department and the Child Care Department. We had 140 students attend. Some of the projects included Osage Lodge demonstration, cultural tracks, Osage language lessons were provided by Osage language and culture departments. Our students were able to plant their own bean plant. They were able to pick tomatoes in the greenhouse, tour the hydroponics area, participate in salsa making demonstrations, which that was really cool. Jan Heyman, she had all the kids come in the kitchen, and basically she took everything that they grew and she made salsa, and we had chips, and the kids got to try it and eat it, and it was really neat. And the kids also participated in a birdhouse scavenger hunt with Cameron Chesbro on our walking trails. All of these activities were provided by DNR, and our child care department provided STEAM t-shirts for the participants and the planting pots. And prior to leaving, we gave each classroom two pumpkins for classroom projects with lessons that they could do with the pumpkins. The children were also provided with snacks while attending. On October 6th, our JOM, our school support program, and our academic advisor and TCC's TRIO program hosted a financial aid workshop at our building here in Hominy. The application opened on the 1st, so we just basically did it like a week after the application opened. We had 9 students attend. Each student that came, we were able to feed them dinner and also give them information on other scholarships, but they all left with completed financial aid applications. So we were really happy about that, that we were able to help assist them from the beginning to the end of their application. So that was a really, really good event that night. Also, our JOM and school support program and our academic advisor took 5 of our students to the Oklahoma State University close-up day on October 25th. This event was geared for high school seniors. The students toured the campus and attended workshops regarding applying for scholarship opportunities and majors offered through OSU. Our students were also invited to attend a special luncheon with the Native American Student Association. And on November 4th, we hosted our 6th annual College and Career Fair. It was the largest fair yet. 5 of our Osage County high schools attended. We had 332 students total in attendance. That was almost 100 more participants than last year. 102 of those students were Osage students. We had 46 total colleges, universities, tech schools, military branches, and career representatives who attended, and former Congressman Archie Mason emceed our event again. On November 18th, Tulsa Public Schools conducted a land acknowledgement ceremony at the Tulsa Central Middle and High Schools. The purpose of the acknowledgement was to honor the 3 tribes that surround Tulsa, the Cherokee, Muscogee Creek, and Osage Nations. Chief Standing Bear was present, and he spoke on behalf of the nation. We had some of our Osage singers that were present. They sang our flag song. Ross Meshunkashe attended and represented our Post 198 Auxiliary, and he raised the flag. The flag will continue to fly throughout the year, not only during Native American Heritage Month, and we've been working collaboratively with TPS's Indian Ed Department to support the ceremony and continue tribal representation. In the winter time, December, we hosted our annual virtual STEAM Christmas Candy House competition. We had 27 participants. It was a really fun event. Several of our Osage Nation employees and outside judged our projects through email, and every participant won a prize. And our classroom and department winners, they were awarded with a pizza party and a donut party. So that was really fun for them, and we enjoyed being able to do that for them. We also hosted our annual STEAM Science Fair. It did not go as planned. It happened, the dates that we planned for was July 26th and 27th, but that was the week that COVID had a large rise in cases, and all of the schools pretty much canceled in Osage County. So we had to go into a virtual event, and 2 of our schools stayed with us and attended, and it was Bowering and Avent, some of our smaller schools. We had 23 students participate, and we had 7 judges within and outside of the nation judge our projects through the mail or through email. And we had to cancel our winner's trip just because of everything that was going on, but we were able to provide them with gift cards, and the science teachers that participated received gift cards for their classroom supplies. This year in February, we hosted our first financial literacy workshop in partnership with Tri-County Tech. The workshop was called Smart Money Program, and it was a lunch and learn, just kind of like they do for the employees and the adults in the community. But this one was for the high school juniors and seniors at Pawhuska. The student received information about financial literacy in order to help prepare them for the working world. During the pilot program, 19 participants enjoyed a free lunch and presentation that featured the history of money and proper budgeting skills. And we hope to expand this opportunity to the other communities in Osage County during the next school year. This was just kind of a little pilot program that we did this semester just to see how it would work. And it worked out really well. So, like I said, we hope to be able to bring those to some of our other high schools in Osage County next school year. Our JOM, our school support program and academic advisor, hosted 4 ACT and SAT prep workshops. We hosted them in October, November, December, and March. 2 of those were virtual, 2 of them were in person. We also attached a sheet on the back of our report in regards to our trips to Tinker Air Force Base. Some of you may have noticed that on social media. We had a trip during Thanksgiving break on November 23rd, and we had a trip on March 15th during spring break, and the kids loved it. Our department, the education department, and financial assistance department worked together to provide 50 Native students the opportunity to tour Tinker Air Force Base, located in Oklahoma City. The Education Department Chief Standing Bear and students in grades 6 through 12 with Osage preference attended, and participants were shuttled to the base on a charter bus. The kids loved that charter bus. They got to watch movies on the way up and back. We provided snacks and lunch, and they were able to learn about the various civilian jobs on base. On the Air Force Base, they have their workforce is 90% civilian jobs. So, they kind of talked about how you don't have to be a part of the military, the Air Force, to work there. We basically toured a building that had over 10,000 employees in it. They were able to look at the 3D printing section. They had a virtual reality mechanic training system that they were able to kind of put on the virtual reality glasses and look at how they explore and how they learn to fix things through that system, mechanical engineering. And we provided all details on the back, the numbers, the breakdown, who we took. Our Sylvan tutoring sites, they are still using the virtual method. We don't have the satellite sites set up right now. They're still just, we're not comfortable with coming to the schools. However, some of our students are going to their sites. And a lot of our schools in the area are utilizing their ARPA funds as well to put in place their own tutor programs. So we saw that a lot this year. So students not only had us as an option to have tutoring through, but they had their schools as well. So I thought that was really good that they were doing that, and just a real positive initiative for our students. We were able to set up our first scholarship resource booth this year at Tulsa East Central High School, their college and career fair. Our higher education program coordinator and our academic advisor were able to attend. That was our first one that we've been to since before the pandemic. So it was nice to be out again and be able to share information with students. Our academic advisor is continuing to provide in-person services for students and also through Zoom. Our JOM program, they've hosted several Native American Heritage activities in various Osage County school districts during the months of November and throughout the year. We've had hand games, powwows, dance demonstrations, princess receptions and coronations, and parade appearances from our princesses and from some of our JOM students. And we've had a variety of parent committees taking place all year. We have several upcoming events. We have another Smart Money program, Lunch and Learn, on April 27th. Our higher education scholarship application opens on May 15th. Our annual STEAM summer camp this year, we're finally going to get to have that again. It's been 2 years since we've been able to host one. It's our annual summer STEAM Indigenous camp. We are really going to have a neat camp on the 24th and 25th. We're going to be partnering with DNR again, our cultural center, our language departments. We're going to have a lot of cultural components built into it this time. We're really looking forward to that. We're just kind of in the registration process right now with advertising. And again, we'll be partnering with our cultural center to honor our Osage seniors during the months of April and May. We have another ACT prep workshop scheduled for May 26th. Our Woodland JOM graduation dance is on May 4th. Our Pawhuska JOM senior celebration is May 11th. Our Pawhuska graduation honor dance is on April 24th on Sunday. It's this Sunday. All are invited. I believe they are starting at 1:30. And our Hominy JOM program, they are honoring their graduates with the hand game on May 1st. So we have a lot of activities going on. Trevor is going to go over the Scholarship America report. Does anyone have any questions so far?
Committee.
Madam Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Mary, again, for your report. I think I say this every time, but I always love getting all this data. I think it's awesome, and I appreciate the work that you and Trevor do and everyone else in our education department.
Thank you.
Just a couple of quick questions on the...
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I cannot hear.
Please speak into your microphone a little bit more, Congressman Potts.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Concerning the ACT prep, Congressman Walker had previously spoken to this, and I share some concern. It's not really concern, but my understanding is we're kind of moving away from the ACT as a standard to college admission. Ms. Wildcat, is that something you see as a national trend? Do you see us going back to the ACT? Just, I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit, because I'm looking at it with 15 applicants or 15 individuals that utilize our college entrance assistance program, and most of that is our ACT prep. So
yes, so due to COVID, a lot of the schools have been able to provide that ACT test at no cost for their students and at their sites. They've also been able to provide vouchers for college applications. And so that number is lower. However, it's not really a good true reflection because for our in-county students, a lot of those services are provided through our JOM program as well. So we will utilize those federal funds first before we dip into that. So what you're looking at is probably more students that are outside of Osage County, maybe located in other states. But I feel like just from what I'm hearing, I know there's just been a lot of like conversation about it, but I feel like the test will be a requirement again. I do. I don't know what they're going to do, because what we're seeing is a lot of our students right now are really behind. It's not just our students, it's students across the board, just because of what we've been through. I mean, the kids are going virtual, then they're back in school, and some of them are going home without parent support, or they're living with grandparents. They're not able to get that homework support or help at home. So pretty much they're teaching themselves at home, really. I mean, that's what's happened, and that's what we've seen. We talked to one of the schools, and they told us last year alone, they lost out on 90 days of instruction. That is almost a whole school. That's over half of a school year. And that's just kind of, I believe that has a lot to do with why they waived that test, because it's just really not fair for these students to have that as a requirement to get into college at this time. But I feel like it will be something that's going to come back. And the schools are in the same situation as we are as a nation. They have so many years to utilize their ARPA funds just like we do. So I feel like once those are depleted, there's just going to be a lot of things that we're going to see come back up like they were before the pandemic. So that's just kind of my thoughts on it.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate you pointing to, you know, this isn't just an isolated instance. Students nationwide are behind. So specifically in our nationwide academic tutoring program with the 42 students that we're currently helping, what does that look like in context? Is that an increase or is that a decrease? Are we seeing more students sign up?
Looking at last year, we had a total of 69 students utilize the program. And so if you look at right now, we're just kind of, well, we're a little over mid-year, but we're at 42. So I feel like we're kind of, I don't know, my prediction is that we will go over that this year. But like I said, a lot of our schools, they are using those funds to implement their own tutor programs in their schools. So they're also getting that at school as well. And it's right there at their school site. So, you know, you can't really beat that. You know, whenever the kids are getting out of school, they're able to just go over for their tutoring, you know, in another classroom. But I feel like with us being at 42 right now, I feel like we will get close, if not more, numbers this year.
Okay. Madam Chair, if I can continue.
Continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And what is the measure of success for our nationwide tutoring? Is it just the assistance, or is it we want to see, you know, a bump in your grade? Is it to pass a certain test? Are we tracking that at any level?
We are, and that is something that we can show come this fall.
Okay.
It just depends. Some students, you know, testing, they're really using that for benchmarking purposes. And some students, they're showing that they're not on grade level, and maybe their parents want extra assistance for them, you know, to be able to score those, at least get on grade level or exceed that. Some students are coming for, you know, their grades are down. We don't have a cutoff of like, well, now you've scored this score, so, you know, now you're not eligible for tutoring, or you went from an F to a C in math, so, you know, we recommend or advise you stop tutoring. We really wait until the family and the student is comfortable, and that's just kind of the route that we take with it. We can make our recommendations, but if a parent is ready to pull their student for the summer or whatever the case may be, I mean, that's just kind of their choice. But we just advise that they continue their tutoring until they feel comfortable in their classes, or they're satisfied with their grades, or, I mean, it really isn't even based on grades. It's, are they comfortable with the material? You know, are they, do they feel like they can do the work that they're working on? It's just, to me, more individualized than, you know, being able to speak on that as a whole.
And Madam Chair, if I can continue.
Yeah, and I just want to interject one thing that also for the committee to hear just about what's going on. Some of the, I don't know about Sylvan, Mary, but I know Mathnasium has you sign a contract, and it's for a year. So if a student goes in with a 42 F, and then as they are working through Mathnasium for 2 or 3 months, and say they start doing better and they're at a 92 A, they're still tutoring because they have that contract in place. Is Sylvan doing that, Mary? Other, and I mean, I know Mathnasium does.
They do. I think all of our vendors use some type of contract system, because when they come in, what they do is they give the student that pre-assessment, and that's how they are placed in their tutoring programs, based off of the results of that assessment, and they monitor that for the year. And some students may stick with it for a year. Some may stick with it for 6 months or a couple of months. It really, to me, the effectiveness of the program really depends on how serious the student is with it. If they're missing several sessions, you know, it may not be as effective with their grades and things like that, just because it's hard to, I mean, you have to consistently attend. And I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I think you kind of...
Yeah, it did. Congressman Potts, then Speaker Pratt.
I can yield to Speaker Pratt.
Thank you. I just wanted to go down memory lane and point out the fact that that was a collaboration actually by the Congress, requesting the executive branch in speaking with Ms. Wildcat probably in 2016 or so, 17. Because at the time, tutoring was, I think they were kind of waiting till the, it was in policy that it was, they were making D's or F's. And that's something that the Congress committed to at that time. And that's when we started, if y'all recall, itemizing it in the budget specifically for tutoring to make sure enough money was available for tutoring for children. No matter, one thing we talked about was no matter where they live. Also, if they were making a B and wanted assistance to make an A, then you could do that because we were using tribal dollars to do it. We asked as a Congress that, you know, we not wait until they get so far behind because it's really hard to recover from that. And so I appreciate that this has gone on and that the Education Department continues to do that. But I recall that that was the request of the Congress, that they look at their policy because we were prepared to support those students in that tutoring. So
thank you. I recall that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a
good move.
That was a good move, especially because we had some students that were at a 70 and they weren't making a D or a F, but they were at a 70. They were 1 point away. And the writing for those parents that talked to us, the writing was on the wall. It was inevitable. They were probably gonna drop down to a D. And so they had to be at a D in order to get the help. And so we committed to allowing tutoring to be available for, even if the grades were good, there were certain aspects of a class that maybe a student didn't understand a certain chapter and they needed additional help. So Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that discussion. And that's kind of what I was hoping to hear, is that we are on top of that and we are making sure that that's still a great service for everybody to utilize. But specifically next on the reservation tutoring program, Mary, I believe I'd asked this before. Of the 12 in Pawhuska, how many are at Dupochka? There's the 41 students total that are served.
I can send you that. I don't have the breakdown right in front of me, but I can get it for you and I can send it as soon as the meeting's over. And if we want that in the report at the end of the year, we can add the school to it because we do have students attending. I just don't have the number breakdown right now.
Okay. I would appreciate that information because I think that's one of the things that I hear is we want to make sure that we're on top of that and providing the best education possible. So I think that information is pertinent and I would like to see that. Madam Chair, if I can continue.
Go ahead.
Three more, and I think the last one is one everybody wants to talk about. So Mary, regarding Tulsa Community College in the concurrent enrollment, let me find that page real quick. Okay, so I see the 36 students total in the 1, 2, 3, 5 classes that were offered. And then see, that was the fall of 2021. So in the spring of 2022, and that may not be so far at this point, we have 19 students, but only 2 courses offered. Is the course offering something that TCC controls, or is that something that the school system, the public school system can request that certain courses be offered based on the student schedules? How does that work?
Yes, they have a semester meeting. They probably have, well, they have like 3. They have one in the spring where they plan for fall, and then they have a meeting in the fall to plan for spring, and then they'll have a meeting early spring to plan for summer. So those meetings consist of the TCC concurrent enrollment program staff and the local high school counselors and principals or whoever the representative is. And basically they just get to the drawing board and figure out which classes their students are requesting or needing. And that's kind of how they decide on the courses. And basically we're just there, you know, to support, and we provide the facilities. So we're just making sure the time frames are available and things like that. But that is more something that's worked out between the concurrent enrollment program and the high schools.
Okay. So Madam Chair, if I can continue on that same topic. Thank you, Madam Chair. So based on that, with the spring of 2022, seeing the decrease from 36 students to 19, is that a reflection of the number of students who are utilizing concurrent enrollment? Or is that number just a shock number and we anticipate to see that go back up in the fall of 2022?
Right now, TCC is in the process of setting up meetings in Osage County with some of our local schools so that they can meet one-on-one with the student body and kind of go over this program again. And I believe they're doing that more as a recruiting, you know, recruiting method and tool to try to recruit students. I do feel like that number will increase just because we're going to be able to offer more in-person instruction. However, some of our students have really adapted to the online classes and they prefer that. They prefer that rather than coming out here. So I don't know. I feel like it's just going to depend on what the students prefer. I've heard a small update, like I heard that Hominy schools, a lot of those students are wanting to participate in more of the online program, and that's just what their preference is. So it will be interesting to see, you know, how everything will work out as far as having the instructions back in the building and the schools, you know, they'll be promoting this again. So I feel like the number will rise again. I feel hopeful, you know, with that. And I really feel like that's important for our younger generation, our high school students. Like I said, they're still learning self-discipline. Some of our adult students, they have a hard time with that online option, you know, with time management and things like that. So I feel like that number will increase, but we shall see in the fall. We'll be able to give a full report when we come back.
Well, and Madam Chair, if I can continue.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mary, I can concur, and from the other side of that, I had been approached to teach there in Hominy some of our American federal government courses through TCC and ended up not making, and so that's very much, you're on point. It was relating to the blended balance, I think is what they call it, whether or not you're in person versus online. And the preference was very much to just go online. That seemed to be easier for students. So I'll be watching that to kind of see how that pans out in the next couple of semesters, because that is a big shift in how college courses are being done nationwide. So that's something that I will be tracking as well. Madam Chair, I've got two more things, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Five for me is the College and Career Fair. We tracked 377 participants. I think that was 332 students plus the vendors was the 377. So, and I may be wrong in that, but let's say 332 or 377. Are we tracking the successful recruiting efforts of the entities that come to the College and Career Fair? Are we seeing most of the students who participate in the fair go on to those organizations?
I think it just depends. I think it is very beneficial for students who haven't made their decision on where they would like to attend. Some of our students, by that time of the year, we had a lot of our students actually who had already been accepted, and they already had their plans in place. So it just really depends on who has made their decision on where they're attending and who is still in the, up in the air. But I feel like it's really been a great event. A lot of our schools really appreciate it. Now this is something that is required by our schools in Oklahoma. It's a check mark off of their graduation list. It's required for the students to attend a college and career fair throughout the school year. So, and we actually started this event prior to that, and it's turned into a need. Our schools are really taking full advantage of it because transportation is an issue with our rural Osage County school districts. I mean, we can't find bus drivers sometimes, and it's hard to just borrow a bus to go on a field trip. And for them to attend a fair the size of ours, they would have to go to Stillwater or Oklahoma City. And this way they're able to travel 15 to 20 minutes and see the same schools, if not more. And some of our team members here with the department, they attend and set up booths at other college fairs. And they have told me that we offer one of the best. And so I'm really proud of the progress of the event. I feel like it's very helpful. That career component we've added has just gotten larger and larger. And we just keep thinking of more careers, and we keep trying to get as many career options here as we can. Because some of our Osage students may not know that they can work for their nation and be an Osage firefighter or an Osage police officer or work in our health system and work as an Osage dentist in their own clinic or an optometrist in their own clinic. Some of them, they're not aware of those. So I feel like that's an awesome component as well. So I feel like it's helpful. We get a lot of really good feedback from the schools. We also have them complete a survey that we use, which kind of helps us make the event better. And we always receive really good feedback, and the kids, they love the snacks, and they express that on their survey. They love that popcorn. And so we get that kind of feedback too. So I think it's great. And I feel like it's really helpful and well-received by the schools as well.
And I would agree. That's what I hear from my constituents that go, that attend. That's what I hear from the students. So I think you are doing a wonderful job there. And I thank you for the job you are doing. I think that's great.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, last but not least, and I think this opens up a lot of the discussion I think the whole committee was hoping to have.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The career training scholarship. We have the 57 approved field of studies in that category. Mary, is there any universal approach to how those are funded? I mean, I would say there's not. I'm not trying to be naive and saying, you know, is there a universal approach? I don't think there is, but you work with this on a daily basis. Is there a better way to fund our career training than what we currently do? And if you could, for the committee and for the public, go ahead and tell us a little bit about our career training program.
Meaning, just for clarity, do we provide enough funding for career training? Is that kind of where you're going with?
Essentially, yes. So what we want to make sure, and what I want to make sure, I can't speak for the committee, is that we offer our career training, we offer our career tech scholarships. I'm sure you followed along with our discussion about wanting to increase the amount for our students or for Carnegie classifications of higher ed. Entering into that discussion was, are we also doing enough for our career training students? That's a little bit harder because not every career path or career training institution funds on a per credit hour basis. Some of them are certifications that cost X. Some of them you get a license at the end of it. Sometimes you get a degree. So it's not as uniform, which makes it a little bit more difficult. But what I was hoping you might be able to speak to is how our current structure is, what our career training scholarship looks like, and then if there is some way to improve it that you've been able to identify in working with these fields in the last couple of years.
Okay, I've got Trevor in here, and he just listened, and so I will let him answer. He is working one-on-one with those students every day, so he can give you the best information.
Okay, so with the Career Training Scholarship, the current funding is, how we currently fund is, I do follow the Carnegie classifications in regards to if they are going to a college or university. So that those funds there are pretty much accurate. How we came up with the clock hour is we did base that off of Oklahoma institutions that were career techs, and that was an average at the time. Since you guys had discussed the research and raising that, I had taken the initiative to go ahead and see what the price ranges are for the clock hour and the career training funding level. And I did see where there has been a slight increase, so I'm currently working on that to seeing if we need to raise that a little. And I would say the biggest thing in between going to school, like a university and college, and then going to a career tech is the supply and equipment. There is a big difference between that. So I'm trying to figure out how we can best fund the supplies that they need to go. And because that's almost, because it's such hands-on compared to going to an actual school. And so I know in the past, what we did with the higher ed is we had the book scholarship. And so I don't know if that would be an additional thing, you know, like maybe $5 per clock hour, but you can get an additional, you know, $500 for supplies and equipments, you know, maybe showing with receipts.
Trevor, this is Alice. So along with that, I mean, what we're hearing from universities are, due to COVID, we're raising our prices. And then of course we do an increase for our research universities. And I was thinking about the difference in someone out of high school that may dorm at college, right? Whether it's NSU, OSU, or NEO. Our career tech and training students are probably, you know, commuting. And so they're getting money for, I think you said, the clock hours. But I was worried. I'm worried about, you know, commuting, the gas prices. And then you also mentioned, I'm glad you're looking at the supply difference, because I've actually heard from kids that are in career tech or they want to go to career tech, but they're literally stopped because they can't afford the supplies. That stops them automatically. And so they opt for just getting a job because they've already made that decision that college is not for them. And they just go to work, you know, wherever they can find some place where a high school diploma is the requirement. So I wanted to talk about, you know, that, so that as you're looking at, if you are looking at increasing it, the things like gas prices for someone who may live in Burbank and is driving to Owosso to go to welding school. And I just wanted to say that much so that you know, will remember that as you're looking at maybe making a change. Thank you.
Okay. I'm glad that you brought that up, that there is, now we do have the 477 program, you know, the federal funds with financial assistance. So I do refer people there that have, that do live in Osage County that do qualify for that, because of that, the prices on gas has affected a lot of people. Cause you know, a lot of schools that they're going to are from Hominy to Tulsa, or, you know, Pawhuska to Tulsa. That's the price ranges has really hit a lot of people. But also in regards to the room and board, I have noticed a lot of the community colleges don't have the same thing either, like Tulsa Community College. So the room and board has also became, I would say, an issue too. So I have been looking into that. So looking into the community college, the 2-year, the associate level, because I have a lot of students that do go there, I have actually noticed a 32% increase from the last time that we actually did it from 2006-17. From Tulsa, so it looks like in 2016-17, it was actually at $126.42. And when I actually reached out to the school today and I looked on their website to confirm it, it is actually $167. So with that difference, it's actually 32% raise or increase. And the same thing with Northern Oklahoma College in Tahlequah, it's actually a 35% difference too. And I have noticed, because a lot of these students are having to go to a rent, they're having to get a rent house. You know, it's like, get a rent house to stay closer to save on gas, or you drive from living at home and not paying for a dorm, but having to pay $50 every day for gas. So that would be something that I would definitely have to look into too, to see how we can help better assist them.
Trevor, can you repeat that increase? Who was that for again? That you just checked? So
for Tulsa Community College, it was, let me grab the paper that formal Shannon Edwards had completed. She had $126.42. That was 2006-17. And then as of today for the 2021-22, it is a total of $167. And that was Tulsa Community College. And then NOC Tonkawa, it was originally $115.15. And then today it is $156.
Interesting. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, committee.
And also, I would like to add, in the formal, or what we currently have the prices, there is a book scholarship that was added within. And so I did know that when I did contact them about that, the book price per hour has actually increased too. It was about $33 in 2016. And now it is, let me find my page. It looks like it was like $786 and $75 that it has went up per hour.
Thank you. All right, committee, any more questions? All right, Mary, do you have anything else that you're, what's the next thing you want to talk about?
We have the Scholarship America Higher Education Status Update that was sent on April 7th. I don't know if you want us to go over those numbers. We can.
Yes, we have it. So yeah, go ahead. You have the floor.
So it looks like as of today, we have had 1,207 students submit the annual qualifying application. And as of April 7th, we have had 885 students that have been awarded for the fall, 752 students that have been awarded for the winter/spring, and 13 students that have been awarded the spring quarter. And as of today, we have had 15 students be awarded the graduate degree award. And I don't know if there's anything else that you would like for me to actually go over, since it's broken down in depth.
Okay. Committee, do you have any questions on the status report? Okay, no questions. Thank you. It looks, go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So on the status report, just again, one thing to confirm, because what we continually hear is, oh, these numbers continue to go up. They continue to go up. We are actually seeing a pretty significant decline. What I'm looking at from 2016, in the fall of 2016, we had 1,200 students compared to 991 in the fall of 2021. So I think that that's something continually that we need to be looking at regarding what we're saying with increased costs and how this is funded as we move forward. The data paints a little bit different picture there. We are seeing a decline in the number of students that are utilizing the Oxygenation Higher Education Scholarship Fund. And I don't think that's anything that's bad. It's just a trend that I think needs to be noticed, recognized, and verified utilizing these reports from Scholarship America.
I agree that the trend needs to be noted. I hear you. I hear you. We should be a little worried that it's going down. Well, we want it to go up, right? I mean, that's what we want.
Our hope
is that it goes up. We probably ought to be finding out why it is going down. Is it because they just don't have a desire to go? Okay. Is it that they think that they can't go and make it at a big school? Maybe they didn't get accepted to where they wanted to go. I don't know the reasons, but I mean, I don't know that I would be for just continuing to hoping that our numbers go down. It's an interesting note, but I'm not quite on the same thinking that you are for why it's that we're continuing to paint a picture that it's going up when our numbers have gone down. It potentially, like, what if we have another 3,000 students next year say they want to go? Then our numbers would be going up overall. So it's interesting to note, but I'm more concerned with why are our numbers going down?
Madam Chair, and if I can speak to that, I don't think I offered any reason why it's going down. I think that is equally concerning, but I just wanted to point out that it is going down. Because we often sit here at this table and say, oh, it continues to go up each year. Well, that's not true. If we want to get into why I think it's going down, I think that's definitely something that we should be researching. But I don't think I've spoken to that, nor would I try to right now. Ideally, it's that we're probably one of the most highly educated nations around. I don't know that that's the case either, but it's certainly possible that we do a better job of educating our students than other nations. That would be amazing. And I definitely think it's potentially a reality at this point. But I too don't know exactly why that continues to go down each year, but it does. And I think what my comment was more specific to the reality that it continues to go down. And we often sit here and say, oh, well, this continues to go up. That's not what I'm seeing from these numbers. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Committee, anything else? Congressman Tillman?
Thank you, Chairwoman. And if I may, I don't know. I know it has gone down. I would just wonder if the enrollment at some of these universities has also gone down. but Mary and Trevor, good afternoon. Thank you all for, again, your due diligence, your accuracy, your commitment, your passion for what you do. And my question, a couple of questions that I have just on the scholarship part, if we could have the numbers gone up with vocational school enrollments, do we know that from year to year?
I would say they have. Since I have originally taken over, I want to say there was probably 35 people, and now it fluctuates each term. Now, I know that, like Mary has mentioned, that we're going to be adding more to that for you to be able to break down on you know, where they're going to school, where they're located and all of that. So you can get more of a picture of how it's working, but it has definitely picked up since over the years. Cause when we first started, there was a lot of people that didn't know about it. So the first thing, I've been really working with Scholarship America and we were being transparent, you know, like, hey, if the college life isn't working out for you, we do have the career training if that's more for you and vice versa. And then also a lot of people will get the certification and they'll want to roll that into an associate's degree and then we will put them back into the higher ed. Mm-hmm. But it has been picking up and just a lot of people haven't known about it. That's why we've been really advertising that over the years, because it has been separated from the higher ed.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know just, you know, if those numbers have increased with the students that are opting into or out of research universities into trade, or the ones that come out of high school directly going into a vocational school. And
I know I've had a lot of students that have actually got their graduate's degree and wanting to get the graduate certification along with it.
Mm, good. Would you have access to the universities that you have, associate colleges, baccalaureate universities, research universities? Could you access their enrollment information to see if their enrollment's also declining? I'd just be interested in that. I mean, if the total enrollment for, say, the University of Oklahoma has dropped from here to here in the last year, just be interesting for me. If you can, that's just a side note.
Congressman Tillman,
yes,
ma'am. You're more referring to like the enrollment as a whole for the whole school?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's what we thought. We can see, we can call and check and see what we can find out. I'm sure we should be able to. Mm-hmm. It might be online, so we'll see what we can find out.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you all. And thank you all again for everything you do. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. We don't have any more questions about scholarships. We have one more attachment from you, Mary.
Okay, that attachment was some of the information that Congressman Potts requested. We just included it in with the committee attachments. I'm not sure if you have any questions over that, Congressman Potts or anyone else, but that's what that information is. And he was visiting with Jordan back and forth, so we hope that it's what you were looking for. If not, just let us know.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have been able to look over that. I think there will be more questions forthcoming, but this is kind of what we were looking for right now. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mary and Trevor, for being on the call and for going through everything and providing the attachments and for us to continue to look through. Committee, do you have anything further? Any questions? All right. That concludes our agenda. So thank you very much, Mary, for the updates. We appreciate you all. And we look forward to getting more updates from you all as you work on things for the Osage Nation. Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
No opposed. Motion carries. We're adjourned.
Ha ha ha.